Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
a little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd
what,
be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Yes, this is Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
That's Michael Tech Talk Kassler over there. I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki.
Dave Sparky Saganaki is joining us again this week.
I'm here.
He is here. It's a nice thing. It's a wonderful thing.
For my exotic travels to Indianapolis.
Hey,
you go to Frisco, you know, the best seafood in the world and the most interesting nightlife there is, and I go to Gap City.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't get some true San Francisco nightlife. I got some good nightlife out there though, courtesy of Oracle. But
what's the latest thing? They're trying to legalize prostitution in San Francisco.
Oh, really? Oh, I hadn't heard that.
And they've already kind of legalized medical marijuana.
I didn't realize that prostitution was illegal. There.
You're not the only one to say that.
You couldn't really tell. I mean, yeah. it's kind of
a gray area. Right?
Yeah, it's kind of like going to Vegas, you know, and it depends on what areas of town you're in, I guess. If you're in the areas of town that I like to frequent, then as far as you can tell, it's all on the up and up.
Yeah. but Indy was nowhere near as exciting, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, Indiana. I've spent some good weekends in Indiana, Indianapolis itself, and the outskirts thereof, and with friends and so on.
I should have gotten some pointers from you.
It can be a little rough around the edges. I remember one evening we were out, a buddy of mine, Doug, we were out and we were at a bar and playing, I don't know what the name of this game is, but it's where it's got a giant plank table and you've got these like metal hockey puck things and it's like
shuffleboard.
It's like shuffleboard, but on a tall table and you use your hands, not a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that called shuffleboard stuff?
Well, there's shuffleboard bowling and pinball. Is that what you were doing?
It wasn't like pinball. It was like I don't know. We're spending too much time on suffice it to say, there was sawdust and metal pucks and a large board and this guy
and alcohol sounds like
and copious amounts of alcohol and we were playing with this guy and his buddy was there and I'm introducing myself to this fine gentleman who's only missing three or four of his front teeth that I can tell and he tells me his name is Mutt. And
his name is Mud. Really.
Mutt. And I say, well, you know, good to meet you, Mutt. I'm going to assume that must be Jeff over there. And blank stare. No, that's my buddy Steve.
Literary reference.
Right over the top of.
Of course, how long has that been? Mutt and Jeff has been gone for a while, hasn't it? In terms of a.
I don't know.
Comic?
You know, it's old enough. I don't know if I've ever actually seen it. I just have heard.
Dithering today. So, you've never seen Mutt. I've seen Mutt.
You know,
Jeff.
I promised people. Yeah. I told listeners. I said, you know, the show is going to be so much better when Dave is back. Just wait. If you think I can't take the pressure.
If you think
it's bad now, just wait till Dave.
I'm folding up under the pressure. I'm choking. I can't take it.
You know, speaking of San Francisco, though,
again,
we have and I don't know if this is more from a L.A. kind of thing, California, but I anybody who's into Star Trek, Shatner, George Takei, the flames,
Leonard Nimoy, all those
flames
guys.
Are shooting out of everybody's ears, and
these guys are how old? They're like, Shatner's in the 70s, Takei's.
Yeah. He's got to be up there too. He's up there now. And
they've been trading barbs for years. Actually, Takei has kind of been taking shots at Shatner for a long, long time about his camera hogging during the filming of the original Star Trek.
Yes.
And I guess subsequent films of the Star Trek.
Yes, and and Shatner came out just recently with a – he didn't come out as T'Kai came out, but he came out with a –
And George T'Kai is gay.
Yes, and recently just got married a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
I guess it was. Yeah. And Bill claims –
Shatner wasn't there. Shatner wasn't there at the wedding. These facts are indisputable.
That's right.
T'Kai got married to a guy and George Shatner – William Shatner was not present
and claimed that he was not even invited, and that was why, and it wasn't a true snub that he just wasn't invited, but that T'Kai has this psychosis. This is using Shatner's words, this psychosis about their relationship, and
right.
This is all.
And T'Kai claims that Shatner was invited and didn't show.
That's right. And so I just, my first initial thought was, they're just publicity hogs. They're trying to, generate something out of nothing and all this. But I thought it was interesting enough that I thought what I would play for everyone. I've got T'Kai's response. It's about 4 minutes long. I don't know if I'm going to play the whole thing, but I got enough of it anyways. This was featured on Entertainment Tonight. I'm going to play you the audio here of George's response to Shatner's snub of him on the whole wedding thing. Whoops, and that's not it.
I've not heard it yet.
Yeah, that's not it.
I've not heard that response to that snub.
The problem was here we go. Okay, all right. Now we got it going.
About your wedding.
It is absolutely baffling to us because, in fact, we did invite Bill, and we didn't hear from him. But it wasn't surprising because it's true to his history. You know, he's never responded to an invitation. For example, every time there was something happy to celebrate amongst us, mm-hmm. like getting a star on Hollywood Boulevard, mm-hmm. whether it's DeForest Kelly, Jimmy Doohan, Leonard Nimoy, Nichelle Nichols, he never showed up. Never. Even for Gene Roddenberry. In fact, the most surprising thing was he didn't show up for Gene Roddenberry's funeral.
But, you know, Bill's ranting and raving is just silliness. What's really important to us right now is Proposition 8, this very discriminatory law that's trying to take away our beautiful marriage. And I have another invitation for Bill. I invite him to join us in voting no and campaigning no on Proposition 8.
That's a great invitation.
We'll see how he responds to that.
He says in the video that you guys never really knew each other, that he barely knows you. Is that the case?
We've done 6 movies together. We did 3 seasons of television together. We've been doing Star Trek conventions together for the last 40-plus years. Yes, I guess he doesn't know us.
What was it about the experience of working with William Shatner that was unpleasant for you?
Well, you know, Bill is the star of the show, and he likes to be the star of the show. And, he likes the attention that is focused on him. It's, a big, shining, demanding ego.
He said some unpleasant things.
Oh, I've heard that, yeah.
About psychotic,
poor guy, I pity him, But it's all typical of Bill. You have to consider the source.
You've been so active talking about Proposition 8 and, and about your marriage. And I thought it was interesting that he brought up the fact that you only came out when you were in 70. How did you feel?
No, that too is inaccurate. Actually, I had been out for decades. Bill just didn't know it, I suppose. And the only thing I had not done is talk to the press about it. And the press has deemed speaking to them my coming out. But I've been active in gay issues, gay organizations. I was even a member of the gay running club. That's where I met Brad, And so I've been out that way. But the only thing I had not done was talk to the press. And I guess the press defines what is coming out.
What would it take for you guys to bury the hatchet?
As by my sending an invitation to him was burying the hatchet. We keep reaching out and reaching out. And he takes that and twists it and crumples it and turns it into something that's rather ugly. But the real ugliness is Proposition 8.
You want to extend one last olive branch to him to see if you guys can patch things up, right?
Well, it may not be the last. I'll keep extending a hand to him, and I invite him, we welcome him, to join us in defeating Proposition 8. No on Proposition 8. And if he rejects that, then we'll send another invitation out to him for other issues. But, you know, we're the one that's reaching out. And Bill, he used the word psychotic against me. Well, I think his stability is quite questionable.
Really?
And what you're missing with the audio here is to see the sarcastic head shake that Takai gets in on these comments.
Yeah. What a great voice, though. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It just sounds fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. You know, for being, I mean, he's 72, 73? I don't know how old he is. He's obviously over 70, though, and he looks great. He sounds great. I wish I had a voice like that. If I had some pipes like that, I wouldn't be on this station, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, you should complain about your voice. Well, no, he certainly sounds like he makes a good case. I'd like to hear Shatner's response sometime.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Well, I saw Shatner's original thing against him. He was probably on Entertainment Tonight too, and that was and I didn't get a chance to get a clip of that. But
right.
It was just, I mean, Takai got it. He nailed it. He claimed that George was psychotic and, you know, crazy, and he was always after him and all this other stuff.
So, yeah, yeah.
So George does come across as the more sane and rational pair.
But it was, you know, it was a minor role.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't quite, you know, die on the planet, you know, but almost. You know? Yeah. You always wondered when Mr. Sulu was going to get it.
Yeah, yeah, know. That's true.
Did he even go on away missions? Not much, I don't think, right?
No. Yeah, he was. Yeah,
he was like communications officer, right?
Yeah, he was definitely one of the more expendable characters. Yeah, yeah. But he was on the bridge. Yeah, you know, he wasn't. He wasn't down below there. So he had that going for him. I thought that was interesting enough that people.
But if Bill is snubbing him, come on, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cut it out.
That's the that's the tech talk philosophy is live and let live.
Yeah.
You know, let's just be happy and that we're all here together and, you know, move on from there. So,
you know, if what Takai is saying is true, that not only did Shatner not come to his wedding, and all that could be verified, I guess, did he go to Roddenberry's funeral, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
It's one thing not to show up at the wedding, but then to call the guy psychotic, too. That's kind of...
Talk about insult on top of injury.
I'm guessing he's not trying to nurture a friendship there.
No. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I thought that was pretty good, though. We're going to be talking in just a couple of minutes to Mr. Jay Garman.
Oh,
he's
going
to give us our geek trivia response, which was a good one this week. It was who was the original Mario and what was his actual name and profession? And it wasn't, it wasn't Mario, and he wasn't a plumber. So.
You mean the original Sega?
Yeah, yeah. Which was the original one with that? So I'm excited to hear about that. And let's see here. We've also.
I should actually know that. I was around, you know.
I had a listener send in the answer, and as soon as I saw the answer, I thought, oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I used to throw quarters into that game, too. But I couldn't think of it. Well, you know what? Let's see if we can hit Jay up right now. See if he's around, I suppose. And
Jay. We love Jay.
Absolutely.
Fantastic guy.
Jay Garman. He's
Yeah, back then, that was like the height of my video gaming addiction back then. You know, That's when I was really god-awful about it.
I was... Yeah, Mario Brothers and Donkey Kong.
Hello.
Good
Mr. Garman.
Hey, we got a full house here today. So
excellent. I'm glad to know that I'm not running off your partner in crime every week.
Yeah, it's a little tough. You know, I was telling you last night the brains of the operation was out of the house.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it was tough to keep
That's
things
me.
Going.
Hi, Jay. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, sir.
just what you. No, the theme song I've got for you that I'm going to be playing each week is You Didn't Know That, though, by Blackalicious. I thought it was rather...
You Didn't Know That by Blackalicious?
Yeah, you didn't know
did
that.
Did you clear this with Jay first?
No, I did not. I'm just telling him. That's...
It's better that way. I have turned over my radio brand to you. I'm sure it's in good hands. What could go wrong?
Exactly. I thought it was appropriate. You didn't know that though. I mean, you know, for geek trivia, it seemed like it all made sense. It was either that or some cheesy mid 80s video game Sega sound or something.
I like it, but it's not my segment.
That would have been appropriate this week.
Yes. Yes, we were just talking about our joy and love for Mario and Mario Brothers and all this, and the question this week was who was Mario originally and what was his profession? Because it wasn't Mario and it wasn't plumber. So
correct.
And I did have some good answers for this back, I believe, but I'm going to let you you tell us who was this guy before he became and evolved into Mario.
Well, he looked pretty familiar in his first appearance. It was in 1981 in a little game you might have heard of called Donkey Kong. But in that game, he had not been named, but he was known in the game notes, which he was not mentioned anywhere in the arcade version, as Jumpman, which is not terribly creative.
Yeah.
And he was a carpenter, or perhaps more generally a construction worker, but he was referred to as a carpenter. And as you recall, in Donkey Kong, he has to scale a building site, dodging barrels thrown by Donkey Kong and destroying them with his trusty carpenter's hammer.
Yes, the hammer.
I kind of thought he was a zookeeper myself. I thought the guy in Donkey Kong was a zookeeper, but
He would have been a particularly abusive one if he was going after a monkey with a hammer.
Well, I think Dave had an entire script in his head of the monkey escaping from the jail or from the cages.
Yeah.
This poor. He was playing some other game. You got to remember, for Dave, this was
it was a rough period in my life. Yeah. Hallucinations were not uncommon.
That was the second round of the 60s for Dave.
Yeah.
And for those scoring at home, the girl in Donkey Kong was named Pauline. She was not an early version of Princess Peach or Princess Toadstool, as some people seem to think.
Uh-huh.
The thing about Mario is he didn't get become a plumber until like five games in. In 81, he was Jumpman, and he became Mario in 83 when he reappeared in a game called, surprisingly, Mario's Cement Factory. But that same year, he was also in a game called Mario's Bombs Away and the original Mario Brothers. I guess it was four games in. That was the last game released, and that's the game where he became a plumber, because he and his brother Luigi, Luigi's first appearance, go into the sewers to fight turtles and whatnot.
And eventually starred in their own live-action movie, which...
portrayed by John Leguizamo and, I believe, Bob Hoskins.
Yes, that's right. I remembered Bob Hoskins. I couldn't remember who...
I didn't see any of that.
I'd be glad.
I saw just enough.
I'm a big fan of both of those guys, Leguizamo and
Well, that was very clearly a paycheck movie, because it was... awful. Despite the fact that Dennis Hopper plays King Koopa.
Oh, that's right. Jeez. That's right. Yeah.
Must have been fun on the set, though.
Yeah. They did probably have a lot of fun.
No doubt.
Yeah, either that or it's probably spent absolutely no time on the set. They were all in their respective trailers until the few minutes that they had to spend goofing around.
I'm just wondering how you pitch Bob Hoskins on this movie. It's like, you know, you just made a whole lot of money off Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but now you want to be taken seriously. We've got just the picture for you.
Well, they probably mentioned Hopper, you know. I mean, I wonder who they got
first. That's true.
Yeah.
How bad could it be? Dennis Hopper's in it.
Yeah, well, and if you look at Hopper's movies since Easy Rider.
He's not a couple
I liked
good
him
ones,
in Hoosiers. Yeah. I'll give him that. Yeah. But, you know... let's see. He did that. He was the villain of Waterworld. That was a great career move for him.
Yeah.
Oh, geez,
yeah. No, Hopper has not had really excellent decision making capabilities in his movies. Yeah. You know, back to the whole Jumpman thing though. I always kind of assumed Jumpman was some kind of offbeat translation of whatever it was supposed to be in the original Japanese. Yeah. That.
And
I
get a lot of those
the same assumptions. Thing about Donkey Kong, but I've never gotten any confirmation of that.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Did the donkey and Donkey Kong come from? You know what I mean? Because obviously the Kong, King Kong kind of thing, that makes sense. Maybe they just couldn't get the rights for...
Maybe he was stubborn.
That's some people have intimated to me, and it's never been explained other than just the Japanese thought it sounded good, that he was throwing barrels, therefore he was a pack animal, therefore pack mule Donkey Kong. That's like the most cogent thing I've gotten out of Shigeru Miyamoto, who is the guy who invented Donkey Kong and Mario Brothers and Legend of Zelda. He's quirky, but he's got his hand at success.
I kind of thought in the back of my head that again it was an actual Japanese word, Daonki, which meant stupid Yankee sucker.
Feed me your quarters if you know what's good for you.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is there's so much about Super Mario that was just happenstance. He's called Mario because, and I kid you not, he looked like a guy named Mario Segale, who was the landlord of the building where Nintendo of America was housed in the early 1980s.
Wow.
So they just picked up the name. And I'm sure they never paid this guy any rights or anything.
No.
And the reason, like, originally that Mario wore overalls is so that they could have his shirt sleeves and his shirt be different colors, so his arm movements were easier to animate.
Oh,
the reason he had a mustache is so they didn't have to animate a mouth, and the reason he had a hat is so they didn't have to animate hair. So everything about his appearance was strictly need-driven. And then his name is just, hey, it looks kind of like the guy we pay our rent to. Let's call him Mario. It's better than Jumpman.
Yeah. How does a Japanese animated figure get an Italian name? It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. That makes sense now. I never knew that either about the where Mario came from. But that was I guess I was doing what Dave was doing. I just was creating little stories in the back of my head and assuming that they were somewhat close to reality when.
But this is fascinating stuff. These are great details.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great trivia.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, now, that's why I get paid the big bucks, but some bucks.
Hey, you're getting paid twice as much as me, so. or half as much.
And
I guess
the listeners
are want to look at.
And the listeners are getting what we're paid for.
I've been asking if I get my salary in euros, though, if that's at all possible, because the dollar is not doing so great.
You know what? We'll give it to you in gold. Gold nuggets.
Oh, awesome. Floating gold coins I have to leap through sewers to collect.
There you go. And they make a nice cling sound when they're in your pocket.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
So what should we be cogitating upon this week?
Ooh,
big word. I like that. This is one that I've actually just been researching recently. It's not from my archives. It's a trivia question I'm working on in the future.
Ooh,
so
hey,
those of you listeners who go through my trivia archives to get the answers won't be able to do it this week. It being Halloween season, I'm sure you guys know that, you know, there's going to be a glut of horror movies, and people wonder where all these horror movies come from. Well, the reason that Hollywood likes them so much is they're incredibly profitable because they're insanely cheap to make. So it's really, really easy for them to make money on horror movies, which brings us to the notion of the most profitable movie ever made. Now, in terms of raw dollars, it's Titanic, and in terms of, like, inflation-adjusted dollars, it's Gone with the Wind. But in terms of return on investment, dollars made as a function of dollars spent, a horror movie is the most profitable movie of all time. It paid off by 34,000%.
Right, the ratio.
340,000%.
So it's the investment ratio we're after, right?
Yes.
Yeah, profit.
For every dollar you spent making it, you made $340,000 back.
Make a good guess at that one, but I'm not, of course, going to say.
Yeah, some come to the top of my head right away too. But yeah, I also would. We'll let the listeners cogitate on that one. So
just to reuse.
Don't wear it out.
I only get one 3-syllable word a week, and that's it. Actually, is it 4? I don't know. I can't count, but I can speak. I just can't count.
It's 3.
3. It is 3. I got it right on the first guess. Wow. I'm just so excited.
Well,
Dave,
Mario's
here.
A 3.
I'm all silly.
Mario and Luigi are both 3-syllable words as well.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So they had something. And Donkey. No, it's not.
only in Japan.
Donkey Kong is 3 syllables.
Yeah, there you go. I don't think it's one word.
I don't know where I'm going anymore. But well, we'll throw that out for people to think on is the most profitable movie ever in terms of its percentage return.
Horror movie.
And it is a horror movie.
Right.
It is a horror movie.
Right.
Which is and very topical. The day after Halloween.
Yeah, well, this is great, too, because this is our last show prior to Halloween. We won't have another show before Halloween comes and goes and all that. Last year, we had an author on that we talked to about her book, horror book. But this year we're not really doing any horror themed stuff, except that you're listening to us, and that's maybe horrifying enough.
Well, we have our own special horrific charm, I'd like to think.
Yes.
Somewhere between Nightmare Before Christmas and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes. Yeah, I don't even have any good fright music queued up or anything, although one of our listeners did send in some links. Maybe I'll play Monster Mash later because we've got to
just play the opening chime to Windows Me. That always made me scared.
Yes. That sounds really well. I can hear your family in the background here, so I think we'll let you go and attend to them so that things don't turn into an Exorcist movie around the Garmin house.
Thanks for that image.
And kudos too to your efforts to eat healthy. I know I'd seen some Twitters from you indicating that you were doing that. And we'll remind listeners that you can always check up on what Jay is doing either on Twitter at Jay Garmin, or you can go to the writtenweird.blogspot.com. And always good stuff on there. And I mean, if you like sci-fi, short sci-fi stories, it's got some really good stuff up there to read too.
Well, I appreciate you lying to them like that. It's very sweet of you.
They can make their own judgments, but I've enjoyed it, I have to say. So.
Okay. We have the Tech Talk seal of approval.
Yes, oh, definitely. Absolutely. I'll make up a logo for you. You can put that on there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'll give you send you one of those wax seals, you know.
That's right.
So. Thanks, fellas.
All right. Have a great week, Jay. We'll talk to you soon.
Take it easy.
Thanks. Wow, he's got such interesting trivia. It's, you know,
absolutely. You know, what's nice is the depth of information.
Retro trivia. Yeah.
It's not just a one-off. Oh, his name was Jumpman. You know, it's you get the whole picture, the whole story, and the whole thing. There.
Really kind of took me back there for a minute. You know?
Yeah.
I've forgotten all about the girl that she was at the top. Then that's who you were. Trying to rescue the girl from the monkey from Donkey Kong.
Yeah, and she did look a lot like
I don't recall
the,
what she looked
princess.
Like. I wasn't that fixated. I don't remember what she looked like.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have a lot of other female contact in my life at that time, so that was you get kind of focused on some of those things.
Yeah.
let's see. We're gonna, of course, have to. Speaking of female contact and
spots.
Spots. Yeah. You know, spots.
How does that segue?
I don't know. I was working my way into something. Usually, I'm able to come up with something at the last second to make it all
didn't
work.
Didn't happen that time.
Did not happen. Actually, what I'm looking for is our sponsorship spot, and I cannot chase it down.
Hey, have you heard? Well, they might have moved it or something. Yeah, that happens all the time.
We've got our donation.
Hey, have you heard that they're working on standards for wireless gigabit?
No, yeah. No, for gigabit wireless.
Gigabit.
I thought I was the one that couldn't talk today.
No, I always have that problem. And they're expecting to have it completed by 2012, 2013.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's, that's at least in our lifetimes.
for
most of us.
That's what they're expecting.
For most of us.
That's what they're expecting. That's not necessarily what's going to happen.
Wow. I think that's pretty cool. The thing is going to be, though, even if you have a gigabit wireless connection, if the infrastructure isn't there to actually get that information transferred over to your point of presence, whatever internet connection you're connecting to, I don't know how much good it's really going to do us.
Well, if you're transferring it between computers or whatever.
Sure.
It's not going to do you much good on the internet. I mean,
no.
It's a little overkill for that.
Yeah, and we're hearing more and more problems with, one thing that I did too is if you go to a citizensvoice.com, they have forums up on there, and there's a Tech Talk forum, and I post occasionally. I post, not as regular as I should, but I post some information and things that we don't get a chance to talk about on the show. And just recently posted, I had this issue with my brother-in-law who all of a sudden his wireless router at home stopped working, and he had it connected to his Comcast cable connection.
Modem.
And all this to his modem. Been working for great since I set him up about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And one day they went in and came in, had not changed anything, it just didn't work. We reset the router, we rebooted the PCs, yeah. We did all the usual stuff you'd think. I even flushed the DNS cache on the router, thinking maybe that was it. I mean, I started to get pretty techy. And he was keeping me going on cokes there, and you know, I had to feel like I had to contribute something.
Yeah, make it look good.
Exactly. Well, what we found out ultimately, none of this was working. I wound up calling Comcast and telling them our configuration. And as soon as I said, yeah, we've got a router hooked up to the cable modem, and now the router doesn't work, immediately the guy wouldn't talk to me anymore. He says, well, we only support a single computer connection, sir. I'm sorry.
Right.
And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, we've had this working for a long time. Well, you know, it's just one connector. I mean, what do you guys care? You know, right. He's like, no, we don't support anything beyond that.
It becomes more complex for them to troubleshoot other people's routers.
Yeah.
And
well, I understand
and
that.
And access points.
I was asking for very specific information. I wanted to know, you know, make sure that I had the DNS servers correct. I wanted to make sure that I had, domain name, all this stuff. And what I finally found out, and I've only found this out by doing a bunch of searches on the internet, is that over the last month and a half to 2 months, Comcast has apparently figured out which MAC addresses are related to specific routers. And, you know, MAC addresses are the computer, it's the machine computer code. It's basically like the very specific address that identifies, like a serial number that identifies a piece of equipment. And there's MAC addresses for printers. There's MAC addresses for computers. There's MAC addresses for routers.
But they tend to be for groups of printers. They're not about specific machines. They're about specific models and types
of machines. They're handed out in blocks to the manufacturers. Exactly. So what seems to have happened is that Comcast has gotten a hold of what one of these blocks is, or a number of blocks, or maybe they're in a relationship somehow. I don't have confirmation of this. I'm dragging this from hearsay and information on the web. But here's the reason.
So it's a smear campaign.
So it's
against
a smear
Comcast.
Campaign against Comcast. Here's why I tend to believe it, though, is because after.
So they're blocking certain MAC addresses, is what you're saying.
Yes.
And why?
Well, let me tell you how I fixed it first,
okay.
And then I'll tell you my supposition for why they're doing this. The way that I and the reason why I believe that this may be true is. The way that I fixed this wireless router problem is I went in and it was a Linksys router, and one of your configuration screens on there allows you to change the MAC address.
Right.
I pulled the MAC address off of the computer that we were using, the primary computer. I put that into this and made the MAC address that it would show to the outside world.
So you lied to the rest of the...
I lied to Comcast.
Yes, I did. You lied to the entire internet.
I lied to the internet and Comcast, and I told them, I said, this is my MAC address. Look at me. I'm a computer.
Sure.
And I put on a funny hat and I danced around. And suddenly everything worked like a charm. And my brother-in-law was extremely excited for me. Now, here's the reason why I think that they're doing this. You may remember that Comcast had a number of problems recently where they were throttling peer-to-peer networking activity. And this also, too, harks back to the whole net neutrality.
Wasn't that like outlawed or the FCC said you can't do that?
Yeah, they got the snot beat out of them, you know, and what wound up happening from that is what I think is going on is just what we were talking about. And this is the reason why this story struck me is that the infrastructure for them to be able to support the growth in their consumer base is just not there, because that consumer base now is not doing simple things like sending an email occasional gaming and stuff like this. This consumer base now is more and more taking advantage of things like streaming audio, streaming video, downloading movies, Blockbuster, and everybody's got all this stuff you can do online and grabbing stuff. Even the cable company itself, your Dish Network and all this, is allowing you to download.
They're using up a lot of
content.
Bandwidth. Yeah.
It's using up all the bandwidth, and the infrastructure just isn't there for Comcast to be able to support and supply the promised deliverables that they've given, you know, these high-speed internet connections. So they were trying first to say, okay, well, we're just going to hit the heavy users these P2P people,
right.
You know, and they got their knees cut out from them there.
Yeah.
And now they're saying, okay, we can't stop the heavy users. We're just going to kill everybody that's using what we can identify and detect as a multi-computer configuration, probably because those people are more likely to be using larger
bandwidth. Right.
And I think what we're going to see
is... But didn't Comcast have some sort of service where they'd come in and set up a router for you and that kind of thing?
You can buy from them direct a wireless router modem, yes.
Right.
And that's the other reason.
And then I don't mean initially for the router and such, but then do you pay an additional monthly fee?
I don't believe you can buy your modem from them. You have to rent that modem. And so Now, I haven't had Comcast for quite some time, so if people have a different understanding, feel free to send me an email at techtalk@wrlr.fm.
But this is highly speculative that you're not claiming this is fact. This is kind of a theory that you have.
Anything said on the Tech Talk show, do not hold the station or station owners responsible for the opinions expressed herein. I have not.
Or management.
Yes, exactly.
Or officers or...
or co-hosts or...
Oh, definitely not the co-host.
You know who you
I'm
need?
I'm a stooge, by the way, folks.
Go you need ahead. To blame is... I blame Sports Corner. They're on right before me, and they're the ones to hold extremely accountable for all this information. Or better yet, how about all the hits after us?
Oh, yeah.
If you have a problem with what we're saying, call Jeff Davis, all the hits, or Zane. Zane also is a good person to talk to.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if that's bound to come out if that's what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they're blocking specific MAC addresses or the MAC addresses of routers, that'd be a pretty curious thing.
Yeah, and it's only been, like I said, about the last month here that's cropped up, maybe a month and a half. So if it does come out to the fore, I'd like to just put in my little two cents that, hey, you heard it here first. But I think that we're going to see more and more efforts like this from not only from Comcast, but other Verizon, AT&T, other high bandwidth providers.
And initially, that's what they were. I remember initially they were very, oh, no, one computer only.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, sure, buddy.
Yeah. That's what everybody said. Yeah. Like, how are you going to stop me?
Speaking of rumors, I've heard a rumor about AT&T America. Have you heard about what that is? That's it's a combination of services, of phone and internet and that kind of thing.
Is that like that U-verse thing? Or?
I have no idea. I don't know that much about it, but supposedly it's very inexpensive. And what it is they run fiber optic right to your house.
Oh yes,
and it's also very inexpensive.
Yep.
Relatively inexpensive.
Yep.
And so if Comcast is coming up with all these administrative stuff, all these administrative things to try to slow down the use of their bandwidth, and here AT&T is actually trying their best to come up with a more supportive infrastructure, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think
that shows a big difference competitively.
Yeah, and I think, and that's kind of where I fall on the net neutrality idea, too, is that net neutrality is a nice concept. It's kind of like socialism, you know. It all sounds good and it makes sense conceptually, but when you actually try to put it into practical use, you start running into these infrastructure issues. And to some degree, you have to manage your bandwidth and manage your flow intelligently. Otherwise, you're going to have less flow for everyone.
Oh, come on, the cable companies and the telcos and such that are providing bandwidth, they're not going broke.
They're not saying they're going broke.
They look, you know, I mean, it's look.
I hit a hot button here.
I'm paying, you know, how much do you pay for broadband? I mean, I think I'm paying right now somewhere near $27-$28 a month.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at.
Yeah, that's, you know what? That's
darn cheap.
And I'm not, right, these days, I mean, I've had my periods of time where I was a heavy bandwidth user. These days, I'm not a heavy bandwidth user.
Yeah.
For instance, I've got satellite TV. That's a good example. I mean, I'm like a premium guy and I pay a lot of money and I'm getting like all the 2-star movies I can watch. You know what I mean? I don't think these people aren't going, they're not like banks, you know,
they're not going
belly up.
I'm not saying that they're going belly up or that they shouldn't be taking the money that they're earning and investing it into increasing the infrastructure in order to support that. I think that definitely has to be done. But I'm thinking about it, and this is the thing, is it's a locale-based situation, is that, say in my neighborhood, my 7 or 8 neighbors right next to me are all heavy-duty users.
Yeah.
They've got kids that are watching movies, downloading stuff and all. my service is going to suffer. My ability to watch that YouTube clip that I want to see, my ability to do the one little thing that I want to download from work or whatever is going to suffer and be negatively impacted because directly related to because of the usage of my neighbors. And
right.
And
well, haven't we talked about that on the show, though? Aren't various different broadband providers talking about putting caps, you know, like 100 gigabyte a month caps or something like that on, you know, and we've talked about that on the show. And that's within the bounds of net neutrality. The net neutrality is all about, you know, everybody has, there's no priority in terms of, you know, which data goes first or.
Yep. You know, and I guess that's where the difference comes in is who do you lock in? Do you lock in the consumer or do you lock in the provider? And if you're making your decision at the provider level, saying, you know, you're providing P2P connectivity, you're providing video connectivity, so we're going to downgrade your capabilities, or you're going to hit it at the consumer level and say, you know, you are a multi-gigabyte per week user, we're going to lock you down.
Yeah, or charge a little more.
Or see, you know, I like that idea.
100 gigs a month, you know, that's $25. 200 gigs a month, it's, you know, $35 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that seems a lot more. Why throttle what makes the whole thing appealing to people in the first place? They're just shooting themselves in the foot. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, yeah. I don't know. You know what? Like I said, we've got a forum up at citizensvoice.com where I'll also put the link up on our website, and I'll put up a little thing there to talk about net neutrality.
Yeah, who doesn't have more than one computer in their house anymore connected to the internet? Come on.
You bring your laptop in from work. You got a wife. Yeah, it's true.
I'm not that, you know, you've seen my phone. I'm not that geeky. You know, even I've got more than one computer hooked up to the internet.
And even now the digital photo frames, which we've talked about on air a few times. You know, I've got a Pan Digital photo frame. It's awesome. You can get a Wi-Fi dongle for it and connect to Picasa Web and have streaming Picasa Web photos on your digital photo frame. Things like this. Those types of applications aren't going to get less frequently seen. It's going to be more and more integrated. Your phone, you know, go Wi-Fi on your phone.
We're raving about a policy that we're not even sure exists. It just occurred to me. Sorry, Comcast, or any other Wi-Fi or broadband providers, we're really sorry.
It's true. But you know what? I am going to play those spots now. I still couldn't find the sponsorship
10 minutes
spot.
Later.
Yeah. I still could not find the sponsorship spot. So
I'd let it go. Yeah.
I'm just going to say... I'm just going to tell people, if you want to have your name associated with quality content like this,
then
all you got to do is send an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm, and we'll set you up. Make sure that you get some 30-second spots and web presence and in the newsletter when we remember to get the newsletter out, and also, too, of course, the podcasts, which are played live and worldwide and recorded and through iTunes and all the great stuff. So there's a really good spread and a really good capability of getting some name recognition and all that through the Tech Talk show. Just send us an email at techtalk@wrlr.fm, and we'll be right back at you in just a minute.
See you then.
WRLR 98.3 FM. As you may know, WRLR is a nonprofit, all-volunteer station. All of us here give our time, resources, and energy to provide the community, and the world for that matter, with unparalleled entertainment and information. Our motto, radioactive means involvement, our involvement alone isn't enough. There are operating costs that go well beyond our immediate resources. We need you. Community involvement is everyone's involvement. Please go to our webpage, www.wrlr.fm, and click on Donate. The rest is easy. The amount is up to you. Our budget is like yours. Every contribution is an important part of keeping us all radioactive.
The Marcus Gurney Cinema in the Gurney Mills Shopping Mall, 6144 Grand Avenue in Gurney. For movie showtimes and advance tickets, their website is www.marcustheaters.com, or the phone number is 847-855-9940. The Marcus Gurney Cinema can host your private party, has 20 movie screens, and accommodations for the disabled. Marcus Gurney Cinema creates magical movie memories.
Hey, Lake County, don't forget to tune in to 98.3 FM every Wednesday from 10 to 1.
For Midday Madness.
Crazy.
Yeah, you heard it. That's right. Midday Madness every Wednesday from 10 to 1 right here on 98.3 FM WRLR.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was a nice promo for Midday Madness.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
So,
yeah, during the break, we were trying to figure out what the plural of Linksys is.
Linksy.
Linksy.
Yeah. Who, of course, they're owned by Cisco now as well.
Ah, that's right.
So,
yeah.
So good stuff, good equipment, and that's what I use.
I've always liked Linksys, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
From the beginning, I remember my very first router wasn't even wireless. I was, you know, I called, it was like a little dog, like, you know, Linky. I mean, my new pet.
Linky the dog.
Yeah. Talk about wiring up, you know, internet, you know, for everybody. Oh, boy, that was like a big thrill back then.
Yep. Yeah, no, I remember using, borrowing switches and hubs from work in order to get LAN games going.
Oh, actually. Yeah. Borrowing?
We returned them, so that was borrowing, wasn't it?
Oh, okay,
it?
Yeah,
it wasn't like I took it home and kept it.
Temporary pilferage?
Temporary. Yeah. They didn't need those computers connected over the weekend.
Yeah.
Might have been a problem.
Oh, there was never a problem hooking them back up on Monday either, right?
No.
Never any company money spent straightening that out.
And you know, I never got hit by a bus on Sunday afternoon. And, so it all worked out for the best.
What's he got in that backpack? I don't know. It's kind of clunky. You know.
Let's see. We are back here. You're listening to Tech Talk. And don't forget, of course, you can always go to techtalk.wrlr.fm. We've got also, too, the audio here is always available live and streaming, live and worldwide at wrlr.fm. I also have the link on our website, too. But that's always available to you. And if you forget to listen live or you can't listen live, download us. Go to iTunes and just do a search on Kassler or on Tech Talk or on WRLR, and we'll come right up somewhere in there. You might have to hunt a little. I probably shouldn't tell people to do a search on Tech Talk because there's a number of other shows called Tech Talk. And I don't want you listening to those because
they're so original.
They're probably better than us.
probably.
And I see Dave has got something queued up there. He's flipping through, desperately trying to find. You know what I would like to talk about a little bit, though, is a lot of the stuff that's going on with mobile phones and all that right now. Obviously, Google just came out with their Google Android. Yeah. And, of course, now it's been out for, 3 weeks, I think? And today we find at 9...
It only works with T-Mobile, right?
Yes, it's only T-Mobile. And not only that, but there is a security flaw that has been revealed as of this morning in T-Mobile's Google phone. There's a great article by John Markoff in the New York Times, where he talks about it's literally just days after the T-Mobile G1 smartphone has gone on the market. And now this wasn't found in the wild, I should note. You know, this wasn't that some hacker out there figured out how to break this and has already sent something out and going around. This was developed and figured out by a group of security researchers. One of them is a former NSA computer security specialist, in fact.
So he was busy trying to hack.
Oh, yes. These were people that had money, resources, brains, and everything.
Nothing else to do.
And since the ending of the Cold War, not much else. Yeah.
Well, they might be getting busy again.
Yeah, you know, that's a little scary too.
Yeah.
But instead
of going after Russia, they're going after the Android phone.
Yes, yeah. They're going after our American economy.
Yeah.
So Charles Miller, or as I like to call him, Chuck. Chuck, a former NSA computer security specialist, said this Google flaw could be exploited by an attacker who would trick the G1 Android phone user into visiting a booby-trapped website. Very similar to the kind of things that you see with unprotected Internet Explorer, unprotected Firefox, and things like that, is that, you know, you get tricked into going to a website that loads a whole bunch of garbage onto your machine. Well, these phones now are becoming so smart. I mean, they're smartphones that they're closer and closer to an actual computer and have the same vulnerabilities as your PC
and
does.
Maybe more, because it's an unexpected
Yeah, yeah, and for a long time, people have kind of like Apple, you know, just assume that, well, nobody uses it, so you know, there's no real danger, no one's creating viruses for me. Well, that's not probably
so far nothing malicious has been created. They're just exposing that, you know, there's this vulnerability to people letting them know what's going on.
Yep, exactly. So that's something to watch out for, and I think it's a good heads up to make sure, especially with some of these open source things like Android. And now also in the news this morning is that Symbian, who is one of the larger manufacturers of phone software operating systems, they're going to actually convert their Symbian software to open source. So they're going to go right on the same level and compete with Google's Android. And this is being, this was part, I think, of the process of Symbian being taken over by Nokia. So, and again, there's a really good article.
I like the idea. You know, I think it'll be more competitive when more and more of that happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that we're going to see more and more of that happening. I think Google's Android is really going to be kind of the watershed event for the opening the phone market up. We've been always
exactly, yeah.
So locked into software to vendor in all this that there's going to be some big changes happening. I think the iPhone, we're going to look back on the iPhone. Everybody's really excited and hot on the iPhone, but we're going to see the iPhone is really a big mistake. Dave's looking at me like, hey, what? You must be crazy. Maybe I am.
Well, no, I think the breakthrough aspects of the iPhone are interface.
Yes.
And form factor.
Yes. Those things are things that Jobs did great, but he's got the same mentality as Henry Ford did.
Proprietary.
It's all proprietary.
Yeah, of course.
The
yeah.
App Store in particular is, I think, just such a huge error in judgment. The Apple App Store is locked down, fully managed, proprietary, and only the stuff that they want you to get.
Right. Well, there's a reason for that. I mean, if there was a fully functional phone, there's no reason that a phone can't be a fully functioning computer. None.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, they hobble it for a reason. So you can't hook up a broadband card and go on Skype instead of using the phone service.
Yes. Yeah. And that's exactly it.
Yeah.
And I think that mentality hasn't changed. And obviously, you know, Google Android's taken a different step to it.
Yeah.
Symbian is going to take by association. Nokia is taking a different aspect on it. And I think that you know, Jobs and Apple are either going to have to follow suit, or in five years or so, they're going to see that market share and the market love that they had originally start to crumble away. I think Google is one of the few companies that could really start to eat into and undercut the good rep that Apple has. You know, the Macaholics, who have always been willing to pay extra and willing to, you know, spend more for the Macintosh and Apple line. I think if Google has comparable stuff, they're gonna start migrating.
If that wall comes down, there's gonna be a sea change in cellular services provided.
Yeah.
Nobody will have a cellular phone line service anymore. It'll all be cellular broadband.
Yeah.
You know, but you'd have to come up with a card or that would be able to fit in one of these small handheld computers, and it'd have to have all the features of a phone. It'd have to make it pretty convenient in order for people to go for it. Why pay for cellular phone service and cellular broadband service when one would suffice if you had the proper device to run it?
And they've got phones like that out there. BlackBerry has got a Wi-Fi connection in them, and also software that will allow you to make Skype calls from your BlackBerry.
But that's Wi-Fi, though. That's once again, you'd have to have a Wi-Fi connection nearby. If you had a cellular broadband card that you were able to use with that device, then you would not need phone service whatsoever.
Yeah, well, of course, but then you're paying for the cell service anyways, though, because you have to make the cell connection for your broadband access.
No.
Unless you're in a Wi-Fi area.
Sprint, we use a Sprint card for our sports broadcasts.
Yes.
We don't have a Sprint cellular phone account. We just have the Sprint cellular broadband.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that cost would be, I mean, you basically be swapping one cost for another in that situation.
Right, but then you don't have to pay the additional cost.
For the phone service.
Exactly.
I see what
I'm saying?
Yep, yep.
I believe that's the motivation for all of this.
Yeah.
Because that would cut their income.
Wait, you're saying this is all about money? Hold on a second.
That's always seemed obvious to me. Why not? You could get a nice little small handheld computer that gets broadband access and has GPS and everything. You know, you don't have to pay an extra fee to have GPS. You could just use the satellites.
That's true.
You could use Skype instead of using the cellular phone service. And you could do that for 50 or 60 bucks a month instead of paying, you know, and then it would be unlimited. It would be unlimited phone service.
Yeah.
It's unlimited broadband for that price for most cellular broadband providers.
And they've got that. But yeah, they don't have the whole integrated thing like you're talking about yet. So they don't just have it.
They make a point of not having it.
They cripple
these devices so they can't do that. Or you know, none of those little computers have a PCM CIA slot, which would make it very easy to do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. They say.
Nothing for you.
I'm sorry. Hey, how about Cool Sites?
That's exactly what I was originally trying to pull up. And we've got some good Cool Sites of the Week this week. Now, last week, of course, we had some really fantastic stuff, and I apologize. I didn't get the newsletter out, but if you remember, Stephen Lensk from Earlesk came on, and if you go to techtalk.wrlr.fm, one of the pages on the website has got all of our Cool Sites listed right there. There's hundreds of them now, and you can go and check through those if you missed any. This week, though, we've got some really good Cool Sites of the Week as well. It's always so tough for me to choose which one to go with.
You always find so many good ones.
It's true. Now, you know what? I already mentioned this. I got to edit this. This should be in the ones that we've used already. I talked about Quicken and how that's free now. I think probably the best one I'm going to talk about is a couple of ways that you can get your music on through the internet you may not realize. One is via iTunes. We've been talking about Apple and Mac and all that. iTunes has a radio section to it now you may not have seen or be aware of where you can get streaming radio. It's there. It's easy to find. It's under the top listing on the left bar there. So I won't take a lot of time with that. But the problem with their radio streaming stuff is you can only get the radio stations that they have approved, that they think are good, and that they've put into their list. Now you can...
You can't import stuff there.
Well... Now here's where the Cool Site of the Week comes into play. Ha ha! Is that you can actually bring at least Shoutcast radio streams into iTunes. The Shoutcast radio stream has to have a PLS file associated with it. And what that means is if you go into Shoutcast and you typically do this through like a Winamp front end or however you want to do it, and you find something that you like to listen to a lot, right-click on it and see if you can copy the shortcut to your desktop as a PLS file. If you can, you can then import that into iTunes. And I'm going to give you a link. There was a really great article on it.
What is a PLS file? Never mind. I'm sorry.
Personal listing shout. I don't know. I could make something up, but I probably should. I found a great article on cybernetnews.com. It's their October 23rd note, and it's exactly how to add Shoutcast radio streams to iTunes. I will put a link up for that on the newsletter. If you can't wait for the newsletter, like I said, go to our website, and all these are always there. Now, there's one other one that I want to turn you on to as well. This is so cool. I love this one. Now, with the radio stations, there's a lot of radio stations that I love to listen to, and sometimes I want to carry those radio stations with me, but I can't. You know, I don't have a capability to do that. There's like a, you know, a groove stream and a light jazz or things that are great for listening to in the car, some of the indie stations that I like to listen to. There is a station called Chili Rec. ChiliRec.com. Now, this is our website called ChiliRec.
That's a station? Oh, that's a
website. Yeah. I apologize. I misspoke there. And what ChiliRec does is you tell it which stations you want to record and want to have available, and it will fire off and start doing it. You go away, you leave it alone, and you come back a couple days later, and there is just a bazillion stuff.
It records it to your hard drive as an MP3.
No. It records it to their internet server.
Yeah.
And then you can either stream just the music you want out of it. So let's say you've got a thing for you know, David Bowie, but, you know, he's got new stuff, he's got old stuff, whatever. Right. You can tell it record all of these different stations, but only the stuff that has the word Bowie in it, and then it will only, and then you can have your own little thing. It's a very focused way to get stuff off of the thing. Now, if you like this too, and you can create your own playlist, and you create a playlist, you can then download that, you know, to your...
So you can cherry-pick streaming music off the internet with this.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yeah. And so it's very cool. It's a little gray in the usage area. You have to be careful and make sure that you're not, you know, broaching copyright law if you do download to your desktop. But it's...
So it'll stream it, but it will download it as well.
You can choose to download it. There are areas and options there.
But I'm guessing the bandwidth is not real, you know, there's a not really high quality MP3s.
No, they're not. It's not like 320, but yeah. It's whatever the stream is broadcasting.
Right.
So
and typically that's not real wide.
You get stuff that's up to 192 and 256.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's not terrible. It's definitely very listenable, particularly if you're just looking to, you know, get out.
Yeah, no wonder Comcast wanted to block you. You know.
hey, what the? You might have a point there.
If I was Comcast, I'd be blocking your MAC address too. No.
Well, hey, you know, we should call.
Yeah, we need to block our MAC address right now.
Yeah. We got about 30 seconds. We're gonna call it a week. I'm the podcast only song of the week this week is gonna be from Manu Chao, Bongo Bong, and I'll play just a couple seconds. No, I won't.
Hey, I know Manu Chao.
We're gonna switch over to.
See you next week.
See you next week. Take care. Have a great time.
Mama was queen of the mambo, papa was king of the Congo. Deep down in the jungle, I start banging my first bongo. Every monkey like to be in my place instead of me, cause I'm the king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong. I went to the big town where there is a lot of sound, from the jungle to the city looking for a bigger crown. So I play my boogie for the people of big city, but they don't go crazy when I banging on my boogie. I'm the
king of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Nobody like to be in my place instead of me, cause nobody go crazy when I banging on my boogie. I'm a king without a crown, hanging loose in a big town. But I'm a king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo.
Hear me when I come. They say that I'm a clown, making too much dirty sound. They say there is no place for little monkey in this town. Nobody like to be in my place instead of me, cause nobody go crazy when I'm banging on my boogie. I'm the
king of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come. Banging on my bongo, all that swing belongs to me. I'm so happy there's nobody in my place instead of me. I'm a king without a crown, hanging loose in a big town. I'm the king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come. Mama was queen of the mambo, papa was king of the Congo. Deep down in the jungle, I start banging my first bongo. Every monkey like to be in my place instead of me, cause I'm the king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong. Hit me when I come. Hit me when I come, baby. Hear me when I come.